All right, so wisdom. We started last week with the wisdom series, and we are going to look in this series. We've got two more weeks after today to look at what we titled the wisdom series, okay? We're going to cover what is wisdom, types of wisdom, why do we need wisdom, and how do we get wisdom. And previously, we saw from the scriptures, Proverbs chapter 4, wisdom is the most important thing. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. So get and acquire wisdom. And it says also in that same verse of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, if it costs everything you have, above all acquisitions, get and acquire understanding. You know, we did a series on understanding. We started that right from the start of this lockdown. And it took us to last week when we started this wisdom. So we see the link between wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the most important thing. Get it, acquire it. If it's going to cost you everything, above every acquisition, make sure you get an understanding. And we looked at that. We saw also in the previous verses, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, get skillful and godly wisdom. It qualifies it. Skillful and godly wisdom. Acquire understanding. Actively seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. This is how the Amplified Bible amplifies it, right? And it says, do not turn away from her, that is from wisdom, and she will guard and protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is a guard. Wisdom will protect. Wisdom will watch over you, you know? And we defined wisdom last week. Wisdom simply means to be full of intelligence. Now, intelligence, we saw, is also the word understanding. Understanding is intelligence, right? So when you are operating in wisdom, when you have understanding, when you are filled with understanding, then we can start calling you someone full of wisdom. So to be full of intelligence means wisdom. Wisdom also means to have skill in management of affairs. Think about it. In this life, all the life's affairs and everything life throws at you, you happen to have a skill to handle and manage all the affairs of life. And now, this is the clincher, right? You're full of intelligence, that is understanding. You are a person of understanding. You have received understanding from God. Remember, we said, according to Job chapter 32 and verse 8, that there is a spirit in man. It is the breath of God, the inspiration of God that gives man understanding, right? So when you have the understanding and you are full of understanding and you begin to apply it, that is wisdom. You are then deemed to be walking in wisdom. So the application of knowledge in diverse matters, that is wisdom. Knowledge that is understood, all right? So we're talking about this now because at this time of this season in the history of mankind, we need to be full of intelligence. We need understanding of these times and the seasons, like we've been learning, so that we will know what we ought to do. We also need to have the skill in managing all the affairs. During this pandemic, even after, lots of jobs have been lost, lots of lives lost. You know, it's just so, let me use the word, weird, right? We need to be filled with intelligence so we know what we ought to do. And when we do what we ought to do, we are acting in wisdom. The application of knowledge in diverse matters, because there's going to be diverse issues, there's going to be lots of challenges, there's going to be new things happening. We need wisdom at this time and season, right? So let's go. We saw the difference or the relationship between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. You will see that in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5. We will not go there today, but I'll just quickly run a commentary. Knowledge is simply you being aware of something. That's when you have knowledge. You are aware of it, but do you understand what you are aware of? When you understand what you are aware of, that is understanding, right? You're not just aware of it, you understand what it is about, all right? What the thing is about. And then because you have the knowledge, don't stop at knowledge, because knowledge will only puff you up. Knowledge will make you look like you've got it when you don't have it. It will only make you proud. You know what? There's a delicacy, okay, called puff, right? Where I come from in Nigeria and Africa, you know, puff, it's made of dough, flour. They put leavening in it and then it puffs it up. It's just puff. You eat it, but you know, it's very soft inside. You know, it's just like bread, okay? Bread rises because you put leaven. It just rises, right? It's got air in it, but it's not got depth or substance, all right? So don't stop at knowledge. Understand what you know and then apply the knowledge you have understood. That is wisdom. That's the relationship between knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And last week, we drew from a scripture in James chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, right? James chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. We saw there that if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and you are selfish or have a selfish ambition in your heart, do not brag. Your bragging or boasting is a lie that hides, that denies against the truth, or don't cover up the truth with bragging or lying. All right? That kind of wisdom does not come from God, but from the world, and it is earthly. From that scripture, and we went on to go to what we could bring out of it. Right in that James chapter 3, third chapter of James, verses 14 and 15, we can see clearly what we began last week, what we call the three kinds or the three sources of wisdom. And we looked at it. Now, the children, well done. Some parents have submitted the children's assignments, and I can only say 100% all those who have submitted, shout out to Andrew, to Daniel, to Gracie, to Zara and Nathan. Okay, I didn't get Nathan's own. I know Nathan's full of wisdom, so, you know. but, you know, your parents did send your assignments, and thank you very much. You got 100%. And I think, yes, from the Dabiras, the Shindaras, you know, I got your assignment too. Well done. So we looked at three kinds or sources of wisdom. Number one, wisdom of God. We called it a spiritual wisdom from above. So that's wisdom of God. Number two, the wisdom of the soul, right? Soulish, it comes from within mankind, right? The wisdom of God from above. Wisdom number two, from the soul, from within. And then wisdom number three, the wisdom of the devil. It is devilish. It is from without, okay? Wisdom from above, wisdom from within, wisdom from without. Okay, let's say it together. I'm a teacher. Three kinds of wisdom: wisdom from above, wisdom from within, wisdom from without. All right, let me get my studio audience to participate so I know you at home too are participating. So we're going to say from above, from within, from without. That way you will never forget the three. Let's go. Wisdom from above, wisdom from within, wisdom from without. One more time. Wisdom from above, wisdom from within, freedom, wisdom from without. Man, we can form a rap from that. Wisdom from above, wisdom from within, wisdom from without. Yo, wisdom. Come on, let's just have fun today. All right. Wisdom of God from above, wisdom of the soul from within, and wisdom from without. That's the one from the... It is demonic, it is influenced by the enemy of our souls. That's the one we're going to major on today. All right? That's the one. We're going to take it one after the other. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the wisdom from the soul. I said next Sunday is Father's Day. Man, try to be wise. But we will see more about that next week. But today, let's look at something, and I tell you, it's a common denominator. It's exciting, and we will realize today what sort of wisdom we are applying at different stages of our lives. Listen, whichever wisdom you have will begin to influence and direct your thoughts and your actions. I repeat, whichever wisdom you have will begin to influence and direct your thoughts and actions. So if you're operating in the wisdom from above, yes, the wisdom of God will influence, direct your actions, your choices. If you're operating the wisdom from within your soul, you're developing your soul, you're learning, you're thinking, you're going to school, that's how you develop the wisdom, acquire worldly wisdom, wisdom from philosophers. You know, I was reading about Socrates, great philosopher. But you know, I had something about that great philosopher. He, as wise as he was, he ended up very, very badly. You know, marriage, everything family-wise, a pauper, and committed suicide. That's what history. But that's someone who operated in that great wisdom from within. His books are there in universities. Philosophy, that course called philosophy. You can't study philosophy, you will be taught about Socrates. Socrates even had disciples. He had those he mentored. He had those he taught, right? People like Plato and all, they operated wisdom from the soul. But we're not going into that today, right? The third wisdom is the wisdom from the devil, right? So that is what we are looking at in depth today. We can title this Wisdom of the Serpent or the Devil, all right? Okay, so let's look at wisdom from the devil. Listen, we forget, right? And if you're just tuning this in and you somebody just invited you to this, listen, there is an enemy out there. I was having a wonderful discussion yesterday. Shout out to you, Dr. Jojo. You're watching. God bless you. I enjoyed our discussion yesterday. We were looking at the devil called the serpent. Listen, if you don't believe there is a devil out there is a devil. I tell you, there is a serpent. The serpent is crafty, is the enemy of our souls, right? If you pick up your Bible right from the book of Genesis, right, you will see the devil, the serpent, introduced in Genesis chapter 3. If you read the entire Bible and you get to the last book of the Bible called the book of Revelation, guess who's there again? The serpent is called the great dragon. It's called Satan. You will see him even at the start of what is known as the New Testament, the book of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you will see the devil. So the devil is there at the beginning, devil is there in the middle, and the devil is there at the end. There is a devil out there. And I tell you simply, who is this devil? It's called Satan. Satan literally just means the opposer. Something, that being that is always opposing that which is God. Listen, I'm stressing that. That being that is always opposing everything that is God. Listen, I'm emphasizing again, that being that's always opposing everything that is God, not everything that is good. Because I tell you, the wisdom of the serpent will always give you a good alternative to God. Yeah, I got your attention now. Listen, in Genesis chapter 3, we see that devil introduced. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, and I believe verse 3, he says, now the serpent was more crafty, was more subtle, was skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field. Don't miss this, which God had made. Listen, which God had made. Who is God? What is God? The source of all life, the source of all intelligence. He's the creator of everything. Who? So God created the devil. Yes, God created the devil. You heard it. Maybe for the first time today. He didn't just jump down from nowhere. God created the devil, but listen, God created a spirit being, an angel called Lucifer. angel of light. If you study the Bible, you will actually see the purpose for which this angel called Lucifer was created. He was like the music director of heaven. In worship, in music, you know, the Bible describes like he's got, you know, his body's just full like a pipe organ, just filled with pipe organs, music. And you will understand by that how you see how music, right, can rule and also ruin people. Think about those you know in music. If you misuse music and you're applying and being influenced by the devil, you see how music damages people? No, you don't need to go far. And you can also see how good music, inspired by God, actually blesses people. Right? I'm telling you, scientifically proven, psychologically proven, people will listen to a certain kind of music, and the next thing they want to go hurt someone out there. They want to go fight. They want to go commit murder. They just want to go do something crazy. People will listen to a certain kind of music, and guess what? They just feel so calm. They feel so nice afterwards. They just feel the presence of God. That is how influential music is. But it is either from an inspiration of God or an inspiration of, yes, you got it, Lucifer simply opposed everything that was God, and he got kicked out of heaven, and he became Satan, the opposer. Learn something today. There is an opposer out there who is after your soul, who is out there to damage you, who's out there to make sure that you're cut off from God, to make sure that you don't have anything to do in this world worthwhile. He's the one making you depressed. He's the one making you sad. He's the one that's not letting go of the past, making you always feel so low, not happy with yourself. You've made wrong decisions, yes, but he's just there. The Bible describes him. Jesus introduces him in John chapter 10. He says he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And this devil is wise. Listen, he's not a fool. The Bible introduces, he says he's more crafty, he's subtle, he's skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which God has made. Right? And then Jesus said something about the serpent in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, be wise as serpents. Listen, if the serpent was not wise, Jesus would not say, be wise. And Jesus wasn't speaking to devils or people who were doing evil. He was speaking to his disciples, the people he was mentoring, and he said, be wise as serpents. But guess what? He said, but harmless as doves. There's something about the wisdom of the serpent, right? You can be as wise as, but don't be wise like. Don't be a serpent. Be as wise, right? Don't be the serpent. Be wise as, all right? But harmless. And then my favorite scripture in the Bible, you know, there's some scriptures that just jump out at you. It's James chapter 3, verse 16. James 3, 16. James, the third chapter, verse 16. It says that where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Jealousy, envy, where it is and where you find strife. What is strife? Simple, opposition. There will be confusion and every evil work. Listen, why do corporations break down? Why do families break down? Why do relationships break down? Why do friendships, why are they destroyed? Why are partnerships destroyed? Envy, jealousy, strife, opposition. No, we're not going that way. No, I disagree with you. No, that's not going to happen. Husband and wife, yeah, we marry, we're going to do this, yes. And you say, no, we're not doing it again. I'm going this way, I'm going that way. You have introduced confusion. You have introduced every platform for the devil to begin to operate. All right, I want to round up, okay? How do I know when I am operating in that wisdom of the serpent? I take everything I'm sharing with you now from that wonderful, simple introduction in Genesis chapter 3. I read, let me read a very simple version, all right? I read from the English Standard Version, and I will just quickly run through the commentary so we can round up quickly. All right? Now, it says, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast. Genesis chapter 3, that's the first book in the Bible, chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing, look at it, good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, guess what? She took its fruit and also gave, she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And guess what happened at that? They disobeyed God. I'm talking about the first man and the woman made in the Bible. How did they operate in the wisdom of the serpent? The serpent came. And this is how we know, you and I. Unconsciously, we operate that same level of wisdom. I'm not talking about the wisdom of the soul. Let me tell you the characteristics now of the wisdom from the serpent. And you and I can see easily if we are operating in that wisdom at times. Number one, it is a very clever wisdom. It is very shrewd, cunning. I mean, you've met people, they are smart. Listen, people who defraud people online, people who defraud people using social media, come on, they are not stupid. They are crafty. They are cunning, right? They are clever. Come on, it takes a clever guy, right, to deceive someone who has worked hard and saved a lot of money and defraud them of all their money. That's someone who's clever. But clever by what wisdom? You got it. The wisdom of the devil. It is very, very clever. It is a skilled wisdom. It is crafty. You can learn it and get better at it. You keep operating in that wisdom. You keep accessing the wisdom of the devil. You can always get better. But it is very deceptive. That's just what it is. Now, listen. It is clever at achieving any aim by indirect or indirect method. It is sly. Very creative means. You see, people who are very creative, but they are very deceitful. They want to achieve something, but they will do it craftily, intelligently, cleverly, but in a very deceitful way. But what is the end of it? It's destruction. Somebody's hurt at the end of the day. Right? Let me tell you the wisdom of the serpent. The wisdom of the serpent, listen, actually acknowledges that there is God. Wow. I thought the wisdom the devil will give will say there is no God. No! Listen to that conversation the devil was having with Eve. He said, as God said. That means he acknowledged there was God. Listen, that blew me when I looked at the scripture. I thought the devil will come and say there's no God. No way. That's not the devil telling you there's no God. Let me jump, give a sneak, a sneak view of next week. That's your soul. It's the wisdom of the soul that actually is developed to a point where it convinces itself there's no God. Like the balloon. The balloon can go, phew, you blow into it, begins to exist on its own. I don't need God. So there must be no God because I can do what I can do. But that's for next week, right? The wisdom of the devil actually acknowledges the existence of God but denies the power of God. It denies the power of God. It denies and convinces you that you don't have to obey God, right? There is God, quite all right. You know what? You can be smarter than God, indirectly. That's what the wisdom of the serpent does. So you know what? It makes you begin to doubt God's promises. It makes you doubt the simplicity of the gospel, the very simplicity. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Confess your sin, he will forgive you, receive Jesus, and he will make you whole. He will reconcile you back to God. And then you begin to live your life. He says he's come to give you life and life in abundance, in his fullness. You begin to live a good, fulfilled, godly life, a life of purpose. You begin to live a life according to God's original plan when you were first conceived, planned for right in your mother's womb by the original creator. Remember, we said you're the greatest thing God created, right? But the wisdom of the devil will come and begin to make you doubt all those things. As simple as they are, you will believe every other lie, but you won't believe the word of God. That's the wisdom of the devil. So, you know what he does? He makes you begin to doubt, right? He says there's God, but gives you an alternative. Have you had people saying, I know this is what the Bible says, but that's the wisdom of the serpent in operation. I know the Bible says that husband, love your wife, and, you know, as Christ loves the church, but how can I love my wife when she's misbehaving? Excuse me, it's called unconditional love. That's the love of God. There is no but, no but, or birth, wherever you're from, right? That wisdom that always gives you an alternative, that is the wisdom of the devil. That's the wisdom of the serpent, right? Let me give you two couples in the Bible quickly who operated in that wisdom. There's a man called Abraham, and there's a man and his wife, Sarai. God promised them a child. They were getting old. You know what? Sarai said, come on. I know God promised birth. I'm getting old, but I'm past menopause, but I know God promised, but there's a Hagar here, but you can always go into Hagar and test your fertility and she will give us that child of promise. That is the wisdom of the serpent. It does not deny existence of God, but denies the power, the promises, and leads us to disobedience. That is the wisdom of the serpent. We operate in that wisdom unconsciously. I know, but anytime there's a birth, that's the wisdom of the serpent in operation, okay? That's couple number one, Sarah and Abraham. Couple number two is Mr. and Mrs. Job. Job was a righteous man. Job wanted to do everything to please God. The devil came in and the devil gave an alternative. He said, come on, God, take everything he has and he will curse you. Guess what? Mrs. Job said, right, God has taken everything. Curse God and die. Alternative. It does not deny the existence of God. Birth will always give you the alternative to God. Guess the alternative of God that the serpent, wisdom of the serpent world will give you. A good alternative. He will make it look better than what God is saying. This is God, but he says, no, do this good thing. Good. That's why people, listen, you're operating, you're doing charitable works and all that, but you don't believe in God. Listen, the Bible says even all your charitable works is nothing before God. Because you can as well do charity without love. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the wisdom of the serpent. It gives you an alternative, right? So Mrs. Job said, curse God, get this alternative, die, right? Then the final thing I want to share, two more things. That wisdom will come and distract you. It's a distraction. It just occupies you and with an alternative option, right? Listen. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction. The way seems right. It seems right, but it is not right. Because where does it end? Destruction. That's the alternative the wisdom of the devil gives. A good alternative, but ask yourself, where will it all end? What is going to be the fruit if I take this action, acting in this so-called wisdom? We all know we're human beings, right? You acknowledge God, but you're denying the power of God. You're acknowledging God, but you're denying the instruction of God. I've had people tell me, I know the Bible says we should do this, but you know what? Let's use our brain. Let's put the Bible aside and do this. You acknowledge in the Bible, you acknowledge the word of God, but let's do this. That's the wisdom of the serpent. That's not even the wisdom of the soul. We'll go in depth with that next week. Right. Where will this end? If I take this action, the end stares you in the face. You know it's not going to end well. But you know what? It looks good. That's the wisdom of the serpent. Right? And it tries to explain God to you. That's the wisdom of the serpent. Tries to explain God. It tries to make you understand God and present God in a way God isn't. Listen, if you want to know God the way He revealed Himself. Don't look for any extra scriptural revelation. How does God reveal Himself? Through His Word. I am that I am. Jesus came and said, "It is written." That's how He overcame the devil. The devil even quoted a scripture to Jesus. When you look at the account in Matthew chapter 4, he tried to present God in a way God didn't present Himself. That is the wisdom of the serpent. And sadly, I tell you something, there are some pulpits today, all they are preaching is the wisdom of the serpent. Trying to make it look like God, but it ain't God. You just need to ask, where does this always lead? Where will it end? Is this advice pointing me to God or pointing me to something that will destroy me? It looks good, but it's not God. Listen, that it is good does not mean it is God. That is the wisdom of the serpent. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 25, "I praise you, my Father, Lord of heaven and earth." He says, "I openly and joyfully acknowledge your great wisdom that you have hidden from the wise and intelligent, and you revealed it to infants." Listen, God hides His wisdom from those who think they're wise and intelligent. They can be wise in the wisdom of the serpent or wise in their own wisdom of the soul, wisdom from without and within, but not them, the wisdom from above. He says, but God reveals them to infants, babes, people with a childlike faith, new believers. I am inviting you as you're watching this. Invite Jesus into your heart. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, the little we can share, we have. Prosper this word in the hearts of people. Make yourself known, expand and expound this simple word. I pray for someone out there who's realizing they're about to take a step, applying the wisdom of the serpent. Father, thank you for this word has come to get them to repent, to turn around and follow the path of righteousness. Father, thank you. I thank you that you are making it and helping us to see that the fact that it's popular, the fact that it's good does not mean you are in it. The fact that everybody's doing it does not mean that's wisdom from you. Lord, I just thank you and I pray that we all operate in that wisdom. And right now, invite Jesus into your heart to say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me whole. Reconcile me back to my source, to my God and my Father, and make me a new creature. I receive the power of God. I receive the wisdom of God." In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your time again. Really, really thank you. I pray you can listen to this again or follow the scriptures. Our next broadcast is going to be this Thursday again. And we will be going in depth again. Still studying now more of wisdom. What are we studying then? We will be looking at a case study, like we started last week, of a king called Solomon, the wise king. The Bible calls him the wisest king that's ever lived. I'm sure you heard people say, "Yeah, you'll be wise as King Solomon." We're looking in depth. We started the part one last week. We'll be looking at the part two this Thursday, 7 p.m. Don't miss that Bible study. Somebody invited you to this broadcast, or somebody's going to play and send you this broadcast to listen to. Join us Thursday, this coming Thursday, 7 p.m., and then we'll look more into that. Understanding Wisdom, we titled it. Case Study of King Solomon, Part 2. You want to contact us, there's a number on the screen. All right, 078-776-22-22207. And then there's an email address. Thank you. We got an email from Gareth. Gareth, if you're watching, we've replied your email this morning. Thank you. for the things you shared and the things you still want to share with us. God bless you for contacting us, and we hope to hear from you again. All right. Thank you very much. Let me just be sure, because I remembered when I, you know, as a tutor, you don't want to forget people's names. Sorry, it's not Gareth, it's Gavin. Thank you, Gavin. God bless you. Thank you for contacting us. We've replied your mail. All right. So that's it. You want to contact us, and remember, please check the comment section. You want to give. There is a platform to give to support all our charitable works. Love Assembly Liverpool. We're broadcasting from Liverpool, operating charitable works across, you know, Merseyside and also UK. And also we're doing some work even as far as outside, you know, the United Kingdom, you know, supporting children in Africa. We have run a Bible, support schools, you know, children, send them to school, you know, and also, you know, we run the Sports and Fitness Academy and all sorts of things we do. So if you want to give, please go ahead. You see different ways you can give. And please support all our platforms, social media platforms, Twitter at Love Assembly, Instagram at Love Assembly, YouTube, Love Assembly Liverpool, Facebook, Love Assembly Liverpool. Thank you for your time once again.